reading from the Book of Tobit. That same night I washed myself and went into my courtyard and slept by the wall of the courtyard, and my face was uncovered because of the heat. I did not know that there were sparrows on the wall. Their fresh droppings fell into my eyes and produced white films. I went to physicians to be healed, but the more they treated me with ointments, the more my vision was obscured by the white films, until I became completely blind. For 4 years I remained unable to see. All my kindred were sorry for me, and Ahikar took care of me for 2 years before he went to Elimaeus. At that time also, my wife Anna earned money at women's work. She used to send what she made to the owners, and they would pay wages to her. One day, the seventh of Distress, when she cut off a piece she had woven and sent it to the owners, they paid her full wages and also gave her a kid for a meal. When she returned to me, the kid began to bleat. So I called her and said, "Where did you get this kid? It is surely not stolen, is it? Return it to the owners, for we have no right to eat anything stolen." But she said to me, "It was given to me as a gift in addition to my wages." But I did not believe her and told her to return it to the owners. I became flushed with anger against her over this. Then she replied to me, "Where are your acts of charity? Where are your righteous deeds? These things are known about you." Before we really begin to dive into this quite colorful passage, I think it's safe to say that our long-suffering Tobit has seen better days. And surely he literally must have seen better days, since I doubt it's an everyday occurrence that he has bird waste in his eyes, and of course that leads to blindness for 4 years. Perhaps this was a little divine retribution for his chauvinistic attitude expressed in this excerpt, as revealed in the less politically correct interpretation of Anna's cloth weaving, found in the New American Translation, and it's called "The Kind of Work Women Do." And along these lines, we begin to arrive at the central issue of the passage today. For what is the kind of work Tobit does? Well, he is happy to tell you, and justifiably so, for Tobit is a master at rolling with the punches. The book begins with a formidable list of his righteous deeds, from his life of virtue as a youth, to being blessed for his faithfulness to God despite great hardship undergone by his people, and by himself specifically as a prisoner of war. Through all the volatility of the Assyrian culture at this time, he remains steadfast in obeying the laws of the Israelites, down to the last jot and tittle. He would give his food and clothing to those in need, and he put himself at great risk, setting himself as a gravedigger for the Israelites that were slain under the decree of the more wrathful kings of Assyria. And in the passage today, what does he get for all his generosity and his sense of justice? Blindness, doctor's ministrations, where you could say the cure definitely is worse than the disease. Somewhat out of place in terms of reward, a sense of rightness. For Tobit is indeed a righteous man and a hero of his people. And with the glorious preface stated in the beginning of the Book of Tobit, it may seem a bit peculiar that our passage today is set in isolation from his selfless works. Tobit is called out, so to speak. with all the social and spiritual equity he has seemingly built up over the years, has his wife Anna unmasked him in one fell verbal blow? I think it's important now to share the New American Translation of this passage's end to augment the New Revised Standard Version. Anna retorts to Tobit, "Where are your charitable deeds now? Where are your virtuous acts?" And then she ends with the statement, "See, your true character is finally showing itself." In terms of spiritual depth, Anna most surely has unmasked Tobit. Tobit's name is translated, "Yahweh is my good." But is Tobit really living up to his name? What is the goodness of Yahweh? We begin to see from the Israelite prophets onward that Yahweh is not about an eye for an eye, with the scales of justice always being perfectly balanced, but rather about abundance, overflowing generosity, unmerited generosity. And this unmerited gift does not compute in Tobit's world schema. It is an outlier in the quid pro quo system of the accepted Hebraic world. Never mind that with Tobit's afflictions, his poor wife is shouldering the entire workload at this juncture. From a hero and consort to kings, to being accused of deadbeat dadhood, quite a story arc thus far. Anna speaks the uncomfortable truth about the inherent ambiguity of reality. The parallels to the experience of Job are obvious, but it is parallel with most everyone's experience of life. A good friend of mine had a cousin who never forgave God after contracting cancer. This cousin said that he did everything right in terms of being a good and faithful Catholic. He prayed all of the right prayers, he went to Mass on every holy day of obligation, and I'm sure on many days too when it was non-obligatory. And from the recollection of my friend, his cousin died angry. Anna is trying to save Tobit from himself, to pierce through his spiritual cataract. If we listen to her, she can save us from ourselves too. For it is this type of salvation, this type of truth-telling, that is often the work that women do. In life, there is unmerited cause for sadness as well as unmerited cause for joy. And both expressions are the gratuity of the real. Will Tobit accept the goat as a gift, a favor that he nor his wife earned? Can his rage turn to acceptance and then to humble gratitude? Tune in tomorrow. And can our indignation be turned to humility? To borrow from Ignatius, can we pray as helplessly as we work as earnestly? Can the humiliation of being pooped on be turned into fertilizer for the heart? Can we just admit that God got our goat and can do so again at any time, and just take the gift? Take reality as it is, in all its forms, no questions asked.